for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, May the 22nd, 1997. First service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is tape one of two tapes of this service.
Hallelujah. For this is the day that the Lord shall move. Yea, I shall move on the left, and I shall move on the right. For yea, I am thy shield and buckler this night. And know if you sang about the cloud, know that the cloud shall go before thee. Yea, I am that cloud, saith the Lord. Yea, be led of my spirit. Be a son, grow up in the Lord. For yea, I am drawing you unto myself, saith the Lord. For I am bringing many sons to glory. Yea, reach out to me in this hour. Yea, come up higher, saith the Lord. Yea, come out of the carnal plane and off the fleshly plane. And move up in the spirit with me, saith the Lord. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not of. For I'm in your presence this night to do a great and a mighty thing. So open your hearts. I'm with thee, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm doing a fine-tuning job upon thee this time. I'm going to fine-tune you, saith the Lord. I'm going to cause great discernment to come within thee. I'm going to show you the positive and the negative. I'm going to show you the pure and the unclean. So be open, my people. I'm going to release the discerning of spirits.
Hallelujah.
This evening, we're going to introduce you to the ministries, and then Brother Jack Harris will close the evening service, and you close in whatever way the Lord leads him, and minister to whoever the Lord shows him to minister to as at the end of the teaching that the Lord will have him teach us this evening. So I'm going to ask, first of all, I'm going to ask Dr. Null to come up here and tell you some more about morning prayer meeting. He is in charge of the morning prayer meeting, and he will be ministering in the afternoon deliverance services, and so will the Coffees. And Brother Coffee and Brother Null will be in charge of the men's afternoon services. But Brother Null, Dr. Bill Null, they have a children's clinic in Salina, Kansas, and he's about five or six doctors in the clinic. And Dr. Nels, the head doctor of the clinic. And truth is truth, Doc. But Dr. Nels is also faithful here to the camp meetings and to the morning prayer meetings. He's faithful, and he's also a wonderful, faithful board member of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Dr. Nels.
Every morning this week, we will have a prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. We pray for those that God has placed in authority over us. We pray for our president. We pray for Congress and the Supreme Court and all those that God has raised up in civil authority over us, so we might live a godly life in all godliness and dignity, a peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. And we pray for all the people in the state governments and the local governments and the police and the sheriffs. And we pray for the campground and those that God has raised up in authority here, for Glenn and for Irma and for Brother Jack and Brother Tommy and Brother Bill Goldson and the Coffees and the other, and for the other ministers that he's brought in. And then we pray for the people that are coming. And then we pray for your families. We pray for sick people in your families. And then sometimes God moves the Spirit to pray for you. And Jesus is good. Jesus is good. You know, there are three types of Christians. In Hebrews, it talks about those people that know about God's works. That's somebody who knows somebody who got healed, or knows somebody who got raised up, or had a miracle occur in their life. But unfortunately, you don't know God's ways. And about those, God says, you won't enter my rest. And then there are those who know about God's ways, but they don't know Him. And they follow, try very, very hard to follow and do everything that's right in their own strength. I was one of those. And I worked and I tried real hard to do everything just right. And then there are those, as David said, I know. There are those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who know Him. And when I met Him, oh, hallelujah, He set me free. And I say to all of you, if you come to prayer meeting, you get to fall in the third category, because if you really seek after Him, you won't leave that prayer meeting without meeting Him, knowing Him, because He comes. And for those who seek Him and come to Him and say, fill me, Lord, He will fill you. And He will grant you your needs, not necessarily your wants, but your needs. I invite all of you to come. Come and meet the Lord Jesus Christ, that He might fill you to overflowing, that He might meet your needs and the needs of your loved ones and your families. Come and meet the Savior. We start at 6 in the morning, and we have been known to go as long as noon. We generally try to end by 8 o'clock, because 8:30, because that's when they stop serving a little breakfast in the morning. But sometimes, just when the Holy Ghost is really moving, nobody, we have food to eat that you know not of. We have food to eat because it's His, to do His will.
There are really wonderful things happen at the prayer meetings and in all the services. Now, I mentioned that Brother Bill Banks will try his best to be here tomorrow. He has said he would be. And Norman Parrish will be here. Will be coming in tomorrow morning sometime. And Brother Harlan Dean is here. Come on up, Brother Harlan, and say a word for us here. He'll be ministering in one of the services, at least one, maybe twice, before the weekend is over.
Well, let me say it's just a great pleasure to be here and meet the saints and to renew relationships and just. One thing that I encourage is that I'm seeking after above everything else, and that is the anointing that breaks the yoke. All that we do without that anointing is just so much stuff that we've done. When it comes to setting people free and teaching the word or whatever it is, without that anointing, and if God doesn't bear witness with His presence to what we're doing, well, we're not in the right place, or we're not at the right time. We're out of step somewhere. And, you know, we're talking about all the revivals and things that's going on. How many of you would like to see a revival start right here and continue on till Jesus comes? You know, He's coming, and He's closer today than He was yesterday. And we're all conscious of it. Is there anybody in here that doesn't believe that Jesus is coming? He's returning? You know, He's going to return as King. He's already came as a lamb, and He's going to return as King. And I've always said, Lord, there's three types of people. There's those that don't know God's doing anything, and then there's those that know He's doing something, and then there's those that's involved in what He's doing. And I said, Lord, I don't care who you use anybody you want to, but don't let me get so far away that I don't even know who you're using or where it's at. We need to know where what God's doing is going on, and I want to be there, be a part of that. So let me encourage you to just open your hearts and receive what the Lord has. But look for that anointing. If you have a need, a particular need, well, pray that God will anoint the ministers to reach down and meet that deepest need. Because if you come here with a need and you don't get it met, somebody was out of step. We need to be able to, you know, just because you sit out there and look pretty with a smile doesn't mean that you don't have deep needs. We've all learned to go to church and cover them up. Is that right? And hoping that every time we go to church, we hope that some way, somehow, somebody will help me. And people go to church and they learn how to be religious and put on all the smiles and go through the facades. And they leave like they came. Brother Bill says you can't do that here. So let's look forward to the Lord's, what he has for us.
I just saw a condition here, the Lord showed me. Let's pray for his hands and arms, maybe coming from the back too. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our brother, Lord. We curse every infirmity that would come against his body. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to minister to our precious brother. We thank you for him, Father. We thank you for his healing. In the name of Jesus, you paid the total price, Father God. In Jesus' name, touch these arms and hands, Lord, and all the way down his shoulders as well. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
And, amen.
And he's right on. I do have a number of infirmities in that. And I have some testimonies from some healings, too.
Hallelujah.
So I'll be giving testimonies of healings and that. But I'm
Hallelujah.
Also believing God to touch me while I'm
amen.
Here.
You know, there's an unusual thing here with all the ministries that are here. Brother Deems is a businessman. Dr. Null's a businessman. Brother Coffey's a businessman. Jack Harris is a businessman. Bill Banks is a businessman. And Norman Parrish has been on the mission field all of his life, almost since he was born. And Tommy's been preaching and teaching for 20 or 25 years, 34 years. And Jack has too. But we're all businessmen here that's going to be ministering and whatever here, except Norman Parrish and Tommy. But we consider ourselves just to be servants of the Lord, to minister to the household of faith. Amen. I don't claim to be anything but a helper in the vineyard. Brother and Sister Coffey, come up here and say hello to these folks. She'll be ministering in the afternoon meetings with Irma, in the ladies' meetings, and then in some of the afternoon meetings, one or maybe two, they'll be have the afternoon teaching session. They're from over a little north of Memphis, where they've got a little church over there that they've been serving the Lord there, as well as he's a supervisor at a company, has been for many years, but on the side. Well, he works there, and then he has a church that's his main business.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, a while ago, when he was telling where I was from, I said, Tennessee. Tennessee, and praise the Lord. Every time we come up here to this, I always think, I don't want to say anything. But, you know, I can't not say something. We are deliverance ministers. And, you know, I was sharing a little bit of this morning. I'm going to share a little bit of it right now because I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to share. And this is what he brought to me. We got into deliverance. We came out of a Baptist church, and we got filled with the Holy Ghost, and we were going to everywhere looking for, we wanted to be under the glory cloud. And I love the Holy Spirit. I love to be in the presence of the Lord. But every meeting I went to, I was seeing people go up for healing, and they were going up to get someone to heal them. They weren't looking to Jesus. They were looking for someone to heal them. And I sit and watch them, and I went to some big camp meetings and big name places, and I saw the same people in the same prayer line going up to get the same blessing. And I would ask the Lord, Lord, why aren't they healed? Your word says that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed 2,000 years ago. And the Lord put us in deliverance. And we began to pray for people to be free from demons of infirmity, of cancer, of high blood pressure, of heart problems. And people, deliverance are the enemies behind so much of your sicknesses. And I used to, when I first started teaching about binding and loosing, casting out devils, we were going from one place to the other to minister. And people, listen, I got some nasty letters from people. All you talk about is the devil. Somebody's got to. And they say, don't talk about the devil. But yet they ask you to come and tell you to, ask you to teach them about the enemy. And so I would get up there and I'd say, you've had hands laid on you until you're bald-headed. And you're still sick. Why don't you get deliverance from the thing, then ask God to heal you from what damage the demons have done in you? And that's not popular, because everybody wants somebody to do it for them. And listen, I know from personal experience, you stand on the Word and God heals you. I've been delivered from a lot of infirmity, but it takes the Word to bring healing to the damage that the devil has done in the body. And you know, that's not popular either, because people say, you're putting me under condemnation. Somebody needs to get you stand up on your feet and say, devil, you've come far enough. Get off of me and get going. I don't want you. I'm blood-bought. I'm redeemed. I'm paid for. I'm sanctified. I'm justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have no right in my body. And when you do that and take your authority and run him off and then stand on the Word for healing, then you'll be healed. You know, the gifts of healing are for the baby Christian, and I don't see any babies here. And I'm telling you the truth, I'm tired of putting bottles in people's mouths that's got beards. You know what I'm saying? God says, grow up. Start believing him. And stop being ashamed of having to get delivered. I have people call me. I mean, people that are in the ministry, would you pray for me? Could I come to your house for a private session? Well, Jesus did it in the synagogue and on the street corner. I haven't been on the street corner yet, but I'm still going to preach deliverance. I'm still going to do deliverance. And I'll tell you something else. People tell me, don't talk to devils. Well, my Bible tells me that when Jesus told them not to talk to him, I talk to demons. They're my prisoners. When you got authority, you bind them and they got to talk to you. And they said, don't talk to the devil. Don't listen to him. You know, let me tell you something. If you're one of those that believe that, get in your Bible and go see what Jesus said about healing. He said, I've healed you, but don't you tell nobody. Because the time wasn't the time for it to be told who Jesus was. And that's why he told the demons not to speak, because he didn't want them to tell who he was until it was the time. And so people, I'm not telling you to talk to devils. I don't care who you talk to. But I'm telling you, get up off of your seat. Get up on the Word. Walk in the Word. Pray and receive from the Lord. Believe the Word, because you know what? God's got a line, and he's no respecter of persons. And what he's doing for the one in the front, he'll do for the one in the back. It's part of what you believe about the Word. God wants us, he wants us to start being the overcomer he's called us to be. Over in Revelation in the 15th chapter, verse 2 says that those that have overcome the beast and the mark of the beast and the image of the beast, that is the overcomer. God's looking for people, and God's saying, come on and overcome that beast and walk in the power and authority he's given you. Praise the Lord. I didn't mean to preach, but I am so mad. I am so mad at the devil. But I'm mad enough to do something about it. I'm not just mad enough to say I'm mad at him. I'm mad at him enough to throw him out. And if you've got a problem here, if you've got brother was talking about people coming to church and covering up. Listen, God wants you free. God knows about you, and you'd be surprised at how much your neighbors know about you. And the only person who's being deceived is you. And say, do like one of the elder ladies in our church said, Lord, I want free from. She was delivered from leukemia in our church. She's 80 years old. And she said, Lord, I want free from this thing, and I don't care what happens. Came out of a Baptist church. Said, if I have to swing from a chandelier, I'll do it. I just want to be free. God delivered her. And when Brother Doc says, you lose your dignity, but you can get that back. You know, people, it's time to be honest with yourself and with God. And I just want to see God move mightily. Every time I come over here, I just want to do deliverance on people that have needs. And I see you're waiting for somebody, as the brother said, to call you out and say, thus saith the Lord. Well, God can do it that way. But he wants you to stand up and say, hey, I've got a problem and I want to be free from it. God's word said, listen, God's word said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And you've got to ask him to deliver you. Amen? Okay, I'll hush. But I'm telling you, people, we want to see a lot of things happen this week. You know, the biggest reason for deliverance is to get everything out of us so we can be filled up with Jesus. And that we can walk in the power and authority of the anointing. That we can go forth, that we can stop ministering to one another and go out and minister to those that are in need. God wants us free so we can go free others. The word, we got a song in our church we sing. It says, freely, freely you've received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. And that's what God wants for us. Amen?
That's all right. We're both preachers. We're co-pastors of a church. We sang tonight, I hear the bridegroom calling from my innermost being. He's calling tonight. God spoke to me when we sang that. Now, I don't get my theology from music, not from songs. But he spoke during that song to me. He says, I'm calling tonight. I'm calling people out. I'm calling them out of the world. I'm calling my people who have called on my name, who are called by my name, to come out of the world now and to come serve me with all of their heart. To make a decision that they'll no longer put self first, but they'll put me first. She just said, there are people here all over this place right now that have all kinds of problems. You won't dare tell them, but you've got problems. We do this every time we come over here. We watch it. We sit here. And as she said, you're not fooling anybody but yourself. Your neighbor knows. God knows, surely. And we know a lot of it. And God wants you free. So that you can serve him. In Hebrews, in the 13th chapter, in the 5th verse, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content for such things as you have. For he has said, and you know this one by heart, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God never leaves us, but we turn and walk away from God. We don't mean to do it. We have no thought of doing it. That's why we are in the ministry that we are in, because there is a traducer who will slip up on your blind side and he'll lead you astray before you know what's happening. You're no match for the devil in the flesh. Now, you might think you are, but you're no match for the devil. You're not any match for a demon. You might think you can control a demon. Oh, I can control him. I'll hold on to him, but I'll control him. He won't rule me. Well, you're fooling yourself.
Right.
Just wait long enough and they'll get control of you. They're playing right up here. There's where their playground is, right in your mind. You say, well, I don't have any demons. Were you always saved? Huh?
No?
Well, what happened to those demons that came into you when you weren't saved? Has anybody cast them out yet? Well, they didn't leave on their own accord. What do you think you've got in you then? You see, we as Christians say we can't have a demon. Christians can't have a demon. They can't live. And the same body was the Holy Spirit. That's a lie of the devil. And they've convinced a lot of people of that. And let me show you one in the Bible. Jesus had just asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they named several people. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. What was his answer? Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And do you know the next thing that happened? Did you read right on beyond there? What did he say to Peter in the next two verses later? He says, get thee behind me, Satan. You savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. That was because of the words that came out of Peter's mouth. Peter had been walking with Jesus for quite some time when that happened. We all have demons. I say that to say we all have demons. One more scripture I want to read to you. Goes along with that first one. Over in 2 Chronicles, in 15th chapter. He went out to meet Asa, and he said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. You hear that? The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, it's not so much that we have gone out and set our hearts to forsake God, but we've been led astray. We've listened to the wrong voices. There are voices up here talking to you all of the time. And if you don't really know how to distinguish the voice of the Holy Spirit and that evil spirit, you can be led astray mighty easy. And they will lead you astray. That's why we're here. That's what we're about. We're trying to get ourselves and you back on the track of serving our God. God wants us to come together this weekend in holiness and righteousness to make a decision that we'll no longer serve self, but we will serve our God. He will be the one that we are out to satisfy and to please, that it's not going to be for my own benefit any longer, but I'm going to serve God. And that's His message for us tonight. Let's come serve God with all our heart. Thank you.
Can I say one more word? Just one word. I was thinking as he was talking, he said that some of you say, I don't have any demons. I have just one question for you. If you don't have any demons, what are you doing on this earth? Jesus was the only one. The scripture says that Satan came and found no part in him. And so he says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So let's get clean houses this week. This house, God's house. Amen?
Well, for a few minutes, get your Bibles all out. Get your fingers ready. Brother Tommy's going to come, and I don't know what he's going to do, but he's got a time here for Brother Tommy Cook from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I'm just glad you're here tonight. Amen. Praise God. There's one scripture in Isaiah 61, just one word I want to give you. 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. How many thank God for salvation tonight? Imputed righteousness. But there's a difference in imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. How many believe that you were saved by the blood and the blood only? Come on, amen? We were justified by that blood, amen? Hallelujah. And how many believe that that was a gift from God? Amen? Praise God. We didn't work for it, did we? We didn't earn it, did we? It was because of Him. But how many know to attain to that imparted righteousness, there's an attainment, there's an overcoming, amen? How many believe God wants us to be an overcomer tonight? And there is going to be deliverance. There is going to be repentance. There's going to be a lot of things. I got a whole list that God's been giving me on that. But I was thinking Exodus, when the manna came. Remember the manna had the taste of oil. Remember that? Over in the Old Testament. And how many know that David said he's going to anoint me with fresh oil? In Zechariah 4, the two witnesses are called the two anointed ones that stand before God of the whole earth. But the Hebrews said they're sons of fresh oil. Anybody want some fresh oil? Anybody need some fresh oil? I mean, no, that old stale stuff that we've had, you know, it's got to go. Amen? We want the freshness of God, don't we, tonight? Amen? But you know, there in Exodus, when the manna came, we know that was a picture of Jesus, the incarnation. He was a true manna, come on, that came down from heaven. Isn't that right? And then Moses smote the rock. I mean, no, that's a picture of the cross. I mean, without the flowing of the blood, there'd be no flowing of Pentecost. Isn't that right? Of the Spirit. And so when Moses smote the rock, that was a picture of Jesus, the crucifixion. And then what came out of that rock, brethren? What flowed out of that rock? Water, which is a picture of the Holy Ghost. So once the incarnation, Jesus came, he was smitten, and the water began to flow. Then there came an enemy called Amalek against God's people. How many know we got some enemies tonight? Amen? You have enemies, I have enemies. Now, Brother Coffey said, the bridegroom's calling. How many know brideship precedes sonship? And how many know how the bride will come forth his sons? How many believe that? Amen. Amen? But in Revelation 12:1, it says, the woman's clothed with the sun, the moon's under her feet, and the stars, she has a crown of 12 stars on her head. She's all lit up. And how many believe God's people is going to get lit up with the light of God? Amen? Amen. She is married to the King of Light.
And how many believe that God is a consuming fire? I mean, you look at that sun in the natural, it's fire. And it says she's clothed with the sun. Hallelujah. That's her covering. That's her glory. That's righteousness. Can you say amen? That's Christ. Hallelujah. And you know, brethren, there was nothing shining on that moon. How many know the moon itself has no light? It's a dead planet. Come on, amen? Without the sun, there'd be no light on the moon. How many know it's artificial light? Actually, secondary light, we'd call it. And how many know without him, we have no light tonight? We'd be in total darkness if we had not the light of Christ tonight. Isn't that right? But I'm thankful that tonight he's given us those garments of salvation. But I'm telling you, brother, that's only the start. Come on, somebody's going to put on the robe, amen? There is a crown of righteousness yet that we're to attain. Paul said that all those that love his appearing would attain to that crown of righteousness. He said he'd attain to it there in Timothy. But all that love his appearing. How many want him to come again? Amen? Amen. You can't separate that love from that appearing in that crown. For truly the darkness does flee and the light does shine. Yea, I am the light of the world, and yet I've said, you're the light of the world. Yea, I put my glory and my power within thee. Yea, rise up, my people, in this hour. For truly thou shalt see and behold the great things of God. Thou shalt see great signs and wonders in the days ahead. For surely the Lord God shall move upon this land again. Yea, the Lord God shall move from the east to the west and from the north to the south. And there shall be a mighty flow of the Spirit of God. So rest in me and know that I've just began to do a work within thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give him praise. Amen.
Praise the Lord forever.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Amen.
Right.
God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, fine looking congregation here tonight.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. The Lord, the presence of the Lord just adds beauty. He's beautiful.
Amen.
To any situation. No matter what the situation is, Amen. If you can get him added to it, it'll improve it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayers. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock. That is higher than high. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My heart is overwhelmed. All this good singing, all this good word, and good spirit of the Lord, and good things that the Lord's doing. You know, if you listen to the news or read the paper, there's heinous crimes just going on every street. And we say, boy, that's terrible, and it is. But one thing about it, where iniquity abounds, the grace of God does much more abound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all of it combined all over the world will not defeat the plan of God. Hallelujah. You're on the winning side with him. You can't lose for winning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Appreciate all the good prophetic word and all the everything. Appreciate Lake Hamilton, Brother Glenn and Irma and the staff here. And they do so much work and always have everything just beautiful for us when we get here. And we just have a great time in the Lord. I might share some scriptures with us tonight that I feel the Lord has quickened to my spirit. I would entitle this message, Have You Considered the Ministry of Judgment? Say, did you know that if somebody doesn't do something that hasn't already been done, it's just not going to be over? The man-child is not coming forth in full manifestation. You talk about a confused situation is the so-called Christian world tonight. All these great moves. And there's a lot of great things happening. But somebody has to be able to separate the precious from the vile. And somebody has to have the authority to do more than just talk about it, but have to have the authority to make that separation. And with the, of course, I know that no one likes to hear, they don't like to hear the word judgment. Don't. And don't like to hear the word law. It always amazes me that people don't like to hear the word law. Well, I tell you this, that God hasn't created one thing on this big earth, on this big planet, on this big universe. God hasn't created one thing that he didn't create a law to govern it. There's a law to govern everything that God has created. Oh, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, we that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, but we're not in the flesh. If so be, hallelujah. And if that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit which dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, we're heirs, heirs to God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Everybody say in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in faith. Oh, hallelujah. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, do groan within ourselves. We're awaiting to wit the adoption, to wit the redemption of the body. Hallelujah. We don't even know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he called, them he also glorified, and them he glorified. Oh, my God. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that... Hallelujah! Ah, hallelujah! Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the gospel. Hallelujah. Well, the religious world has got people so confused that, you know what, Dave? You know, I was the church confused me. They taught me to get ready to go, and I finally got reading the Bible and found out I was supposed to get ready to stay. Hallelujah. And they taught me to get ready to die, and I read in here where I'm supposed to get ready to live. Hallelujah. Ah, blessed be God. Hallelujah. Well, thank God forever. God's good, isn't he? God is good. Hallelujah. Well, I wanted to talk about this ministry of judgment. The ministry of judgment is what brings brings holiness into the land. Now, there are those that went before us that operated in this ministry. No one could say that the Apostle Peter didn't operate in it very effectively. If we could find Ananias and Sapphire, we'd ask them just how effective. Well, And Paul operated in this ministry. The reason that there has been no ministry of judgment to be effective in the land today is because before the ministry of judgment comes to us, there must be some humility. Oh, my God. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience to the things that he suffered. Jesus is our example. Now, when you get to where you can minister like Jesus did, and he told his disciples, hey, you can. You see all these things I've done? Well, he said, you can do them, and greater things than this shall you do, because I'm going to go to the Father, and I'll help you more there than I will here. Hallelujah. And I believe that he's still there, and he's helping us more, Brother Coffey. Hallelujah. And I need his help every day, don't you? Amen. Hallelujah. And I get it every day, too. He's always helping me. I was thinking here about the ninth chapter of Ezekiel. Let's turn over there and we'll read just a little bit. And then I'm going to take, you'll have to listen close and then I'll lose you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read just a few verses here, and I don't want to dwell on this a long time. I may come back to here. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them. Notice, one man among them stands out here. This one man stands out because he's dressed different than the others. Yeah, hallelujah. And this one man among them was clothed with linen. Well, we know what the linen is. The Bible tells us, doesn't it? Linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he's got a rider's acorn by his side, and they went in and stood by the brazen altar and come to get the orders. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherubims, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the rider's acorn by his side, And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, set a mark upon the foreheads of the men and women that cry, that sigh, and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Now, Jerusalem is ever a type of the church. So he says, when change it might say, go into among the church and find those that are sighing and crying for the abomination in the church. And if you find any like that, well, you put a mark on them. The church worried too much about the mark of the beast. I ain't worried about the mark of the beast. Hallelujah. This is the mark that I'm concerned about. I'm not worried about this one, but I am concerned. I want this mark. Amen. Hallelujah. And the others, he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither ye pity. Slay utterly old, young, both maids, children, the whole. And he goes on, come up to the ancient men. And he said unto them, defile the house of the Lord, fill the courts with the slain, go forth. Amen. And they went forth. There were five men that executed the judgment that the executing, that the sentencing ministry put on them. He put the mark on them, and the others carried out the judgment. This man was dressed in linen. He had the righteousness. He was clothed in the righteousness of the saints. So, you see, when Paul was writing his qualifications to the ministry and what qualified him, and he was sending his resume, hey, he didn't go right to the zenith of... When he spoke of the shipwreck that he was in, he spoke of floating on a board. He didn't, if it had been any preacher that I know today, he'd went directly to that night that the angel of the Lord visited him and put him out front. But Paul didn't do that. He reiterated all of his sufferings. And he said this is what qualifies him to be a ministry to have a ministry of judgment. Dealing with it followed right behind the ministry of judgment. But you see, God doesn't even God doesn't raise one up today. And if you're just starting in the ministry today, you won't come into no judgmental. Oh, you'll be judgmental, all right. But. But said, well, don't judge me. Well, I can't judge you. Because a judge has a unique authority to sentence you. And all I can do is state an opinion. Well, I might go deeper than that, but I won't cover that right now. I've been known to go a little deeper than that, but I don't cover that right now. Hallelujah. You can't judge. You can only state an opinion. But there is a ministry coming. And coming soon, say, you know what this ministry is going to represent? David, in the Old Testament, he ruled with a rod of iron. His was a rod of iron rule. And peace was coming, but it wouldn't come in David's under David's reign. It would come, all the provisions would be made under his reign, but peace would come under the reign of Solomon.
Yes.
Solomon was a peaceable man. David was a bloody man. Hallelujah. When I consider both men, I think I like David the best, but well, I'll settle that with him later. But he was, all right, the millennial kingdom will bring us into the Solomon era, into rest. Say, some of you don't know me, so I must tell you now that I have a high expectation. For a long time, in the early years, I hoped that I'd die and go to heaven. But I no longer hope that. That's not my blessed hope. My blessed hope is that I will walk into life. Now, if you still hope you will die and go to heaven, that's all right, because it's a blessed hope. But I found one that's full of blessed. I expect to, or I hope to walk right into life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I'm going to keep them pallbearers out of carrying this 250 or so. Well, but I may not. Now, I may not. But if I don't, I'm still going to be, I hope, in the elect. Yeah. Paul said, and I, brethren, would not have you to be ignorant concerning them that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Christ will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words, he admonished us. Hallelujah. Well, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then they that are alive will be caught up. And you know what this is? Oh, somebody's going to say it's a rapture, but I'm going to say. I'm going to say it's a translation. It's a translation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. It is a translation of those that have walked into perfection. Hey, you know, if I were to tell you frankly, tonight how to, well, let me tell you what happens with me if I have this great hope of walking into life. That is, I'll just be walking along talking about Jesus and the manifestation of the Son of God will take place, and I'll just be hoisted up in his bosom. Hallelujah. And given immunity to everything that can harm. Hallelujah. I had a vision here a few years ago, and I seen a great destruction, just great destruction. Everything was coming down, falling in. And I thought, I believe I said, it's a tidal wave. And the Lord didn't say it was or it wasn't, but he said this to me. He said, when you see these things begin to happen, go immediately to your prayer closet, and I'll meet you there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, I'll meet you there, and I'll give you immunity over every enemy that's against you, every enemy that's against me. And nothing can by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Well, that's thrilling, because I know there's a ministry coming like that to get us over into the kingdom dispensation. Oh, this is a big lesson I bit off here tonight. I'll get some of you. And all right, now, here's the difference if I don't walk into life. If should I not walk into life, or should you not walk into life? This is the difference. If I should go by the way of the grave tonight, if I should, and there's nothing between me and God, nothing that he's displeased with me about, the timing's in God's hand. See, I know that the enemy would have liked to kill me, and still would. And he was hounding my trail, you know. But I always remembered this, that the timing was in God's hand. Yeah. Yeah, I even had visions of him laughing at me. and saying, I'm going to kill you. Well, a lot of people have said that about me. And I said to him, I said, you are a liar, devil. The timing's in God's hand. The timing's in his hands. Hallelujah. And if he wants to, he can keep me alive a couple of centuries around here. I'm not saying that he'll want to, but if he does. I get you thinking, but you've heard of Never Die preachers? Well, I used to preach with them long, and had a lot of good friends. I preached a funeral. Well, people have asked me, Brother Jack, are you never dying? I said, no, I never die. I just believe in living forever. Jesus said to Martha on that memorial occasion, he said, Martha, did you know that your brother will live again? And she said, oh, yeah, I know, Lord, that in the general resurrection, he'll come for it. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.